Thank you, Anishka, and thank you, Roy, for those prayers. So we come to six little words today. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And they are words that are in the Apostles' Creed that we sometimes say in this church. But they're also words in a song called I Believe, which we often sing in this church. Now, the question comes when we read these words, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Do you actually believe in the Holy Spirit? Richard has introduced the topic really, really well. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Or do you say, look, I can say these words, I can sing these words, but I don't really understand the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure who the Holy Spirit is. And look, maybe you're a Star Wars fan. Maybe you're a Star Wars fan, you've watched all the movies and you've watched the associated Disney Plus miniseries. You might have been born in 1977 when Star Wars, the New Hope and the Sun. He works in different ways, but he doesn't work independently from the Father and the Son. Now, Richard explained the concept of what the Father and the Son and the Spirit do really well in his last sermon, if you can remember those slides. And I'm just going to give you an example of one of the things that he spoke about, where he spoke about salvation. Now, God, as one, is in work at salvation. But we see the persons work differently. We see the Father as the elector. We see the Son as the Redeemer, and we see the Spirit as the sealer. The triune God works to save sinners like us and lead us home, but the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit work in different ways. So today we're going to look at the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. First, the person. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's God from all eternity. He has been in fellowship with the Father and the Son forever. He has been involved with the Father and the Son in creating, revealing, and redeeming and saving for thousands of years. The Holy Spirit is a Him, not an it. Now, I have a confession to make. See, when I was a student minister in my second year of Bible college at a new church in a new suburb, I preached my first sermon at this church. And the pastor there was really encouraging. He said, that was a good sermon. But he said, I've got one word of feedback for you. You called the Holy Spirit it on numerous occasions in that sermon. Wow. I sort of changed my ways pretty quickly. Now, how do we know that the Holy Spirit is a person? Well, it's because Jesus refers to him as he. And we heard that in the first verse of our Bible reading, didn't we? John 15, verse 26. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Now, this verse and other verses in the Bible also show us that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, as the Father and the Son send him. See, God reveals each member of the Trinity in a certain order. However, God is not separate. he continues to work as one. And the Holy Spirit proceeding from the Father and the Son actually proves the close, inseparable union that exists in God. The Father and the Son and the Spirit are one essence and are three persons. Three persons for all eternity. Three persons as they work together in all aspects of the Christian life. Also, when we think of the Holy Spirit as God, we actually read in the Bible that he can be blasphemed and he can also be lied to. And this is what happened in Acts 5 when a person named Ananias came to the apostles and he lied about the proceeds of a land sale. This is what it says in chapter 5, verse 3. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? He can say that because the Holy Spirit is God. Now, let's just think a little bit about the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to say up front, I'm not going to do justice to this topic because there are so many Bible passages that we could look at. There are so many hours that we could spend looking at those passages and preaching on those passages that we just don't have the time. Now, while I was preparing for today's talk, I listened to a sermon where the preacher mentioned that over 50 years ago, the Holy Spirit was considered the forgotten member of the Trinity. You wouldn't have heard much about him in many churches. But then around the 70s to 90s, more Pentecostal churches started and the charismatic movement gripped some denominations and preaching on the Holy Spirit was everywhere. But this preacher also said that since the early 2000s, these churches, which consider themselves Holy Spirit churches, a number of them have actually drifted away from the Holy Spirit to more experiential or overly self-focused forms of worship. And as this change has happened, actually preaching on the work of the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. The Holy Spirit becomes like a little genie in the bottle or your friend to help you do various things in your life. As these different agendas come up in these churches, the Holy Spirit is pushed away and he's no longer God. But today we're going to look at the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit under four headings. The Spirit glorifies, the Spirit grows up, the Spirit builds up, and the Spirit goes out. First, the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. John chapter 16, verse 14, Jesus said, "He, the Spirit, will glorify me, Jesus, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you." Now, how does the Holy Spirit glorify Jesus? Well, he does it in a number of ways. The first way is that he causes the Old Testament scriptures to look forward to Jesus. See, all scripture is God-breathed, Old and New Testaments. And he causes the Old Testament scriptures to point forward. And we see this in passages like Isaiah 11, for example, a passage that you may have looked at in your life group that mentions looking forward to the Messiah, but also mentions the Spirit as well. Verse 1 and 2 of that passage. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And the passage goes on. And the only one that that could actually point to is Jesus. And then the Spirit also works in the apostles, works in the authors of the New Testament. The apostles, well, they preach magnificent, Holy Spirit-filled sermons. And just take Acts chapter 2 as an example, where Peter preaches to a crowd after the Holy Spirit has come at Pentecost. And of course, the Holy Spirit works through believers today to reveal God's word to us and show us who Jesus truly is. John 16, verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. In the same way that the Holy Spirit guides Jesus' first disciples, he also guides us in the truth. See, the Holy Spirit has worked through believers in the past. He works through us now, and he will work through believers in the future to glorify Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit is like a spotlight shining in the darkness, and that spotlight is on Jesus to glorify him. How are we saved? How do we live the Christian life? How do we come to a relationship with God through Jesus' death on the cross? Well, it's the Holy Spirit who points us to Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us to understand the truth that's found in God's word. And it's the Holy Spirit who the Holy Spirit who unites us to Jesus. See, Jesus in his earthly ministry glorified the Father. And now the Father and the Spirit glorify Jesus. See, the Spirit works so hard to glorify the Son. So hard that he wants to remain in the background and shine the light on Jesus. He works so hard that we too, in our lives and ministry, should equally do everything to glorify the Son. And we do this not because this earns us anything. It's not because we will get a certain better spot in heaven. No, it's because Jesus is worthy of honor and glory. He is worthy of honor and glory because he has saved us. He has saved us by faith. And he has saved us into an everlasting relationship with him. Second, regarding believers, the Holy Spirit grows us to be more like Jesus. John 16, verse 8. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. In John chapters 14 to 16, Jesus calls the Spirit the Paraclete, which is actually hard to translate into a single English word. So we see in our English translations words like advocate, comforter, counselor, or helper, which are actually really helpful to tell us what the Holy Spirit does, but perhaps the best way to describe the word paraclete is like a lawyer, like a defense lawyer. See, the spiritual defense lawyer convicts us of sin and convinces us of the gospel of grace. He speaks on our behalf, opposing our accuser, the devil. He reprieves us from judgment and gives us grace and Christ's righteousness. So when we face the heavenly courtroom on that final day, we will be declared innocent because we trust in Jesus. The Spirit helps us to pray to a heavenly Father and to know that we are in an everlasting relationship with Him. Now, we're told this in Romans chapter 8, which is a wonderful passage on the life-giving Spirit. And if you want to know more about that, please go home and read Romans chapter 8. It's a wonderful, wonderful passage, which we could spend a whole sermon on, but we don't have the time today. But in that passage, we see many things about the Spirit. But one thing is that the Spirit confirms that we are God's children. The Spirit is called the Spirit of adoption. And because of this, we can call God Abba Father. We are in an unbreakable relationship with the triune God through the Spirit of adoption. And what else are we told in this passage? Well, the Spirit takes our feeble prayers, takes even our inward groans when we can't express in words what we want to pray to the Father. And the Spirit takes our prayers and these groans and presents them to our Father in heaven. And our Father in heaven, as we know, hears these and acts in His perfect timing. See, friends, if you want to be more like Jesus and mature as a believer, it's not some special process or course or religious experience that you need. All you need to do is go to the God of the universe on your knees in prayer, asking the Father to work in you through the power of the Holy Spirit to make you more like Jesus. And friends, the Father will hear that prayer and He will honor it. He will grow you to be more like Jesus. Isn't that so wonderful? Third, the Spirit builds up the church. He causes the church to actually grow. Now, the main way He does this is again through God's Word. See, the Word of God is described as the sword of the Spirit. In cricket, when a batsman goes out to the crease to score runs, what does he take with him? Well, he takes a bat, doesn't he? And he faces up to the bowler with a bat and smashes it for six if he's a good batter. When the Holy Spirit does His work, He goes out with the Word of God and He smashes sixes. He's like the best cricket player you're ever going to see in your lifetime. The Word of God is to be spoken amongst God's people, whether it's our kids in kids' church, whether it's the youth life group, whether it's our life groups we attend, whether it's a gathering like this, the Word of God is to be spoken to every believer so that they will be equipped by the Holy Spirit to build up God's church. See, the Spirit works by the Word, and the Spirit builds up God's church. Now, another way that God's church is built up by the Spirit is by us using our spiritual gifts. And there are a number of Bible passages that tell us about spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, it says this: all these gifts are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. See, spiritual gifts are given to believers to build others up. To build others up, not for our own glory, but for God's glory. So friends, please work out your gift. How do you do this? Well, you do it by actually giving serving a go. And you might try different things. Pray. Ask God to use your gifts and talents, whatever they might be, for His glory. Now, at our church, we actually encourage serving, and we allow people to take a taste of what different aspects of serving might be. So if you want to know more about that, come and talk to me after the service. And finally, the Spirit goes out into the world. But the world that we live in is either arrogant or hostile to Jesus. But the Holy Spirit isn't discouraged by this. See, He continues to lead local and global mission. And the way the Holy Spirit does this is that He uses people like you and me. In John chapter 15, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will testify. And then in verse 27, to the disciples, He says, "You also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." See, friends, evangelism isn't up to our archbishop. It isn't up to Billy Graham, who has now left this earth. It isn't just up to our missionaries like Lynn and Ryan Verghese. It's not up to the church pastor. Friends, the Holy Spirit is in charge of local and global mission, and He knows exactly how to do it. And so He prepares people to listen, as John chapter 16 says. He prepares people to speak, to testify, as John 15 says. He breaks the ground which we might consider to be really hard for the gospel, and He causes seeds of faith to grow amongst people that we never expect to come to Jesus. He allows people to see Jesus for who He truly is. And He uses people like you and me, who are empowered by the Holy Spirit, to do and support local and global mission. Friends, everyone who believes in Jesus has the Holy Spirit. And it's an honor to be part of God's work in this world when we use what He has given us through the Spirit to serve Him and others. See, Jesus gave His life for us. Now He has given life to us. He has given life to us. And that life is at work in us right now through the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit works to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit works to grow believers. The Holy Spirit works to build up the church. And the Holy Spirit goes out into our community, goes out into the world to allow others to hear the wonderful news about Jesus. Friends, praise God for the Holy Spirit. Praise God that the Holy Spirit is in us. Praise God that the Holy Spirit shares a wonderful union with the Father and the Son. Praise God that He is God, one essence, three in person. Let's pray now to our wonderful God. Father God, we just want to thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that you are Trinity. We thank you that you show yourself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in your word. But Father, today we thank you for the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We thank you so much that the Holy Spirit glorifies your Son. We thank you so much that the Holy Spirit grows up believers. We thank you so much that the Holy Spirit builds up the church. And we thank you so much that the Holy Spirit goes out with the truth about your Son and changes people's lives so they trust in him. Father God, we thank you when we trust in your magnificent Son that we have the Holy Spirit with us. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.